Sarah, if you would cue up the video, and if Josh, if you could get the lights back there.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Wake up, gentlemen. It's late. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. All right, listen up. You will follow Doc, myself, and the other coaches. We're going to take a little run through the woods. If you get lost along the way, don't bother coming back to camp. Just hitchhike your hind parts on home. Any questions?
Coach, it's a high school football team. We're not the Marines here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Can't take no risk. Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here is painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys, smoke, and hot lead going right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
Well, if you're not sure where that clip is from, it's from the movie Remember the Titans, one of those many football inspirational movies that are out there. This time of year, a lot of you go on Friday nights to football. Some leave at halftime because it's not going well. But maybe you've been part of a team before. Has anyone here been part of a sports team at some point in your life? Yeah. There's something about being part of a sports team, and especially if the team begins to gel, if you don't have everybody trying to play for themselves, when the team starts thinking more about being the team and building one another up than advancing their own personal statistics, when that starts to happen, there's a synergy that not many other realms of life do we feel. So I know I felt that in my senior year with our basketball team. Maybe you felt that before. And this year our theme is the idea of growing down into God's grace in Christ. And as part of that, we've started a series of growing in belonging. And you might say, why are we talking about belonging and church membership with this idea of growing in God's grace? What do those two have even to do with each other? Why are you speaking about that? Well, where else do we get to experience grace from others other than community, right? When I'm all by myself, I can start to feel like I'm a pretty good dude. But then when I get in contact with others, it's that I see my flaws, that I feel my selfishness, that those things start to get rubbed that wouldn't be rubbed if you're by yourself. We've all felt it maybe in our families. You know, when you were single, you thought I'm pretty good. And then you get married and you go, oh, I'm kind of selfish. I didn't realize how selfish I was. And then you add children to that mix and it takes it to a whole new level. This is a baby that's utterly dependent on you, that doesn't care what time of night it needs to feed, and it's going to let you know that. So there's ways that in community and growing down in belonging, we also begin to understand grace. Because we have to give grace, we need to receive grace because we've fallen short. And so as we talk about this idea of growing in belonging as a community in a local church, that's how it relates to this idea of growing in God's grace. Because as we give grace and need to get grace from one another, because we're close enough to rub hard edges, we're going to learn about God's grace. So the Bible's made it clear that there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. If you look in the letters Paul writes, a lot of us, we read those, he's saying you, and we think it's just talking to me. But in English, we have the plural you. Now, in Ohio, I think we say you guys. If you're from South, what do you all say? Y'all. And if you're from New Jersey, you say yous. I was out there. I was like, wow, that's an interesting way to do it. I guess you add an S to it. It makes it plural, right? Yous guys. So, but Paul uses the plural you, and he is talking to the church. He doesn't use a singular. So, and there's all these other phrases. I remember Bill Weberly, I don't know if Bill's here today, but Bill Weberly, when I first came here, he talked about the lettuce statements. And you might think, a salad? What is the Bible talking about, lettuce? No, it's let us. There's all these phrases, let us love one another, let us do this, let us do that, let us do that. The lettuce statements are about the church, let us. Not let you singular, it's let us. So there's this idea throughout Scripture that it assumes that you are going to be part of a community, a local body of Christ. And so God loves his bride, the church, and he's called it towards this heavenly goal of us being ambassadors to this world of his kingdom and us advancing his kingdom through discipleship. Ephesians 4:11 through 16, if you want to turn there with me, this sheds light on the idea that we're going to be talking about this week in regards to growing down in belonging. And this is the idea that the goal of belonging is to help the church grow into maturity in Christ. So this week we're talking about the goal. We talked about the need, the mandate, and now we're talking about the goal. So the goal of belonging, the goal of church membership is to help the church to grow towards maturity in Christ. And Brian Judd is going to come up here and read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So, Brian, if you would come on up.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
So as we unpack this idea of the goal of belonging being to help the church grow towards maturity in Christ, we see this happens in three ways. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, there's some empty space if you like to do that. I tend to stay more in touch with the message and process and not have my mind going other places. So I encourage you to take some notes, help your mind stay on track. If you're going to be following along, this idea, it happens by first being equipped. Second, by speaking the truth in love. And third, by doing your part. So let's look at the first one. The goal of belonging is that you would be equipped to build up the body of Christ. This idea of being equipped, if you're following along in your Bible, verses 11 and 12, Paul talks here about several roles. Some people will say these are spiritual gifts. As I've researched this passage, I see them more as roles. And the way Paul unpacks that, some people will say there's a fivefold roles in the church. Some others might say when he talks about apostles and prophets, that's speaking of the New Testament and the Old Testament, so the scriptures. And then there's evangelists and pastors and teachers nowadays. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, it's basically that God has given, whether it's the word or there's maybe missionaries and those that are, these different roles. There are roles in the church, and those are not meant to do the ministry. What does it say they're for? Verses 11 and 12. Let me read that. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Why? What's it say there? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Have you ever thought of yourself as a saint? I've heard people say, I'm no saint. So if you come from a Catholic background, you think, well, those are people that are like, they're like at the Hall of Fame of churchdom. You know, I'm not a saint. You should see what I did back in college. I'm not a saint.
What did you do?
Well, not me, just people. Yeah. Well, we can get into that another time. All right. But if you have had Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you are considered pure and clean before God. You have had Christ and his righteousness put over you. You are a saint. And most of the Christian life is trying to act like what you are. Right? Many of us, we still struggle. We still don't act like what we are. And so, but he's saying this. The goal is to equip the saints for ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Now, there's a misnomer that many people believe these days. They think, ministry is a job of the pastor, the elders, maybe my small group leader. Ministry is their job, right? And that involves maybe preaching or hospital visitation or communion or last rites or funerals. That's what ministry is. Is that what this is talking about? No, what is he talking about? He's saying, the saints, you are here in a body to be equipped. So I've heard some people say, I didn't feel fed in church today. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to feed you. I'm here to be like that guy and say, get your butts out there and run, right? We're going to play this game. Let's do this. I'm here to exhort you, to motivate you, not to feed you. You're supposed to grow in manhood and maturity so you're able to feed yourself. But what the goal is to equip you. How do we equip you? Well, if you don't know the truth, you're not going to be equipped. So we try to encourage you, get into the word. We unpack it on Sunday morning. But if this is the only meal that you eat all week, you're going to be pretty darn hungry. If all you ate was Sunday meal, like literally for food in 1 week, would you be starving? Yeah. Many Christians, however, they think this is the only time I'm getting into the Word. And you wonder why you're not growing. You wonder why you're not getting more mature. You wonder why you're still struggling. You need to be equipped. You need to be motivating yourself and equipping yourself, realizing that I'm in this game of life. I'm going out now. This is our huddle. And we're breaking and sending you out now into the world to be equipped to be God's ambassadors, to be his representation, to spread the kingdom. So if we are only relying on the pastor or elders to do the ministry, it's not going to happen in the same quality or fashion. So imagine, though, a church where everyone says, I'm here not to receive, but, you know, I'm going to receive something, I'm sure, but I'm here to say, what do you want me to do, God, this morning? What are your marching orders for me? Who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to pray for? Imagine if you came here and you felt that kind of belonging, that I have a place. God has something for me to do here. That is the type of church that Paul's talking about, and that's a healthy church. So this goal of belonging is to be equipped to build up the body of Christ. Secondly, not only does belonging equip us to build up the body of Christ, secondly, the goal of belonging is that you would speak the truth in love to one another. Look at with me at verses 13 through 15. He's kind of finishing a sentence here. I'll read 12 just to give us a sense. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So that phrase earlier where we're saying build up the body, he breaks it down here. There's a lot of ways, and we're not going to pack each one of these today. I encourage you to unpack this week, maybe in your circle church group afterwards. But there's a lot of aspects of building up the body that happen. And one of those I'm going to focus in on is speaking the truth in love. And one thing I talk about in church membership class often with people, some people, they get scared to think, oh, church membership, am I signing up for some cult here? Am I signing away my firstborn? What is going on here? Well, what I often say is, do you let anybody speak the truth in love to you? And are you speaking the truth in love to anyone else? So a local body of Christ is a place where you say, this is my family. I loved how Marie said that. You said that this morning, and I was like, go, Marie. She said, hey, family, right? And that's what it is. We're part of a family. And in a family, we speak the truth in love. And I think I've used this analogy before, but my brothers would often speak the truth to me, but not necessarily in love. Has any of you had a sibling do that? Right? Now, it works better if it's in love, not you idiot, stop doing that, you're annoying, all right? I got the truth, right? That was annoying, but I feel pretty crappy right now because you just tore me down. So that's not what I'm talking about here, but the speaking the truth in love, it's where, like we saw in there, that team, you saw that one guy was starting to falter. He wasn't going to finish, and the other guy's like, come on, you can do this. Let's go. And speaking the truth in love is, if someone's starting to falter, you are encouraging them. You're pointing them to the destination. You're saying, this is where we're going. We're going towards becoming mature in Christ. Let's do this together, man. Or if you see someone getting off on some wind of doctrine that's off and that's pointing them away from God and away from Christ and away from God's grace, you say, no, no, come on, let's go this way. This is the right way. This is the way of life. This is not running off a cliff. I don't want you to run off a cliff, my brother, my sister, okay? So that's what speaking the truth in love is. It's being genuinely concerned for others' welfare. Not domineering over them, but it's saying, I want you to be your best self in Jesus. I want you to be the best you can be in Christ. My goal is that you succeed. My desire is that you become all you can be. So, are we doing that? Sometimes we're better at one side of this than the other, right? Some people love to speak the truth in love to others, but it's really hard for them to receive it. Others, you receive it, but it's very, very tough for you to ever speak it to someone else. But we're called to do this both, all right? How do we know when to do that? Well, that's why God's given us His Holy Spirit. Do you know how to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice? Robert talked about this. Do you regularly take time and like maybe you have something that's come to your heart and maybe you see something about someone else. Maybe they're getting off track. Maybe one thing I would recommend is go, God, should I say this to them? Ask yourself, am I coming in a spirit of love or am I coming trying to just set them straight? Lord, do you want me to say this? And He will prompt you. He might say, yes, I do. And you go, oh, I don't want to say that, God. I don't like conflict. I don't want this relationship being stretched. Say, if you approach it in that, you're going to have a lot better results than if you just kind of go in with both guns blazing, right? I know I've received words of correction, and when it's done in love, and I know the person has prayed about it, and they even bring that up. They say, this is hard for me to say, but I really am seeing this, and I want you to know this. I receive that so much better than if they're like, thus saith the Lord, and bam, you know? So But are you doing both of these? Have you ever opened yourself up to anyone else here at this body? Say, hey, if you see anything in me that is not of God, will you tell me? Will you pray for me in that? Will you speak to me? And do I have permission to do that for you? And I would hope this would happen in your circle groups, because hopefully we're getting a little more on personal level in those, that we could share real requests. I was just listening to a song this morning. Have you ever heard the song by Amy Grant, Better Than a Hallelujah? You ever heard that song? And what I love in that is she's kind of saying, sometimes when we are struggling and we cry out to God, God loves that more than when everything's going great, because we're dependent on Him. We're a contrite of heart. We're running to Him. And what if our circle groups were a place where the prayer requests weren't just about physical issues? Now, I'm not saying physical issues are a bad thing, but you might say, I'm really struggling to love this person this week, or I'm really struggling with this or that, and we got a little more real. What if they could open up that, where we're spurring one another on, where we're being really honest? That would be really awesome. And I hope that over time, building trust, you can get to that place with each other to speak the truth in love. So, lastly, the goal of belonging is that we would be equipped, that we would speak the truth in love. And finally, the goal of belonging is that you do your part to build up the body of Christ. Look at verse 16. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So our first part is to do our part in love. It's not about us lifting ourselves up because our job's so important. It's about us loving our fellow body members, our fellow family members, in love and ministering them and being ministered to them with the goal of all of us being our best selves in Christ. Imagine being part of a team that is seeking for every member to shine their brightest. It's not about self-aggrandizement, but about making others look awesome. So a question, when was the last time you made someone look awesome? That if I left today and I said, that person looked awesome, and I maybe helped them do that, I would feel like, wow, today was a success in some way, or form, or fashion. It's not just about flattering or whatever, but isn't it exciting when you, I don't know if you've ever been part about helping develop someone or helping them, that you release them and let them shine and their gifts and their gifting. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of that. Can you imagine a church like that where each one of us was more concerned with others than with ourselves? That we were more concerned that others were being their best selves in Christ. What would that look like? I think we're on our way. I see many, I could start calling out testimonies. I think you are doing that, Grace Fellowship. But there's always ways we can grow more in that, right? And so this is a call for us, you know, to say, am I doing my part as a body? And you might say, well, I don't know what my part is. Well, that's where talking to other believers, other people in the church, what do you think my part might be? What do you see in me doing well? Because sometimes we maybe don't have a correct assessment. We might think, like those people in American Idol, you ever seen the first round of auditions? They come in there and they think they're like a star, and everybody but them knows they're not, right? And it's a little sad. Like sometimes they're so convinced of it, even when someone tells them, they're like, no, I'm an amazing singer. And like, no, you're not. You can't hold a tune, buddy. So that's where that little speaking the truth in love, right? Gently, hey, maybe, have you tried this? I don't know about that. Maybe down the road. So are you willing to let others speak the truth in love and help you to find your part? Have you ever asked anyone, what do you think I'm gifted at? And they might say, well, I see that you have such a gift of mercy. Or, wow, when you serve, it just blesses people. Or, wow, you have a gift of teaching. When you teach, it really just lights people up. Whatever that is, finding our part and being faithful to do that. And it's also about being faithful to come. When we gather regularly, when you're not here on most weeks, or you're here just once a month or whatever, we miss you. It's not because we're trying to tick you off in attendance and some heavenly, you know, God's mad you didn't come to church, but it's that when the whole body shows up, all the parts get to function. And when a part's not there, you kind of feel it. You know, if you didn't have your brakes on your car today and they decide not to show up, that's a little scary, right? Or I don't know if you've ever had, I remember I had one time where one of my spark plugs, it's probably when I was trying to change things. I tried to change my spark plugs, and I don't think I screwed it in all the way. And I was on this road trip, and suddenly my car is like, I'm like, what is wrong with my car? And one of the spark plugs had come loose, and only three of the four cylinders were firing. Not a very good thing for a car. It wasn't running really hot. So we need you here as part of the body because you have something to offer no one else does. And in your group and in the service, so this isn't just about you. This is about I'm a part of something, and I need to function and do my part. So I would encourage you, ask yourself, God, what is my part? And you are very special. There's only one of you. You know, and you're here, and you have a part, and God has something for you to do. You are here to bless somebody today, to minister to somebody today. Maybe you have some ministry you need done to you as well. It's this mutual submission thing going, this synergy. So I'd encourage you, as you come to church next week, say, God, okay, looking at these things, what do you want me to equip me for? How do I need equipping? Asking God that. Where's areas I'm a little lacking? And God, do you want me to speak into anyone's life, or will you make me open for others to speak in my life? And finally saying, God, what's my part today? And it might change from week to week. What do you want me to do? What's your calling for me this morning? And it would just be here. I would say during the week, you know, God, what do you want me to do? So, question, are you equipped? Do you know your Bible? Do you know how to hear God's voice? Are you willing to let others speak into your life and to speak into others' life in love? And are you learning your gifts and doing your part in this local body of Christ or whatever local body of Christ you are involved with? I know we have some visitors. So as you go back to your local body, asking yourself, am I doing my part in that body? This isn't a spectator sport. This is an all-in type of thing. And that's, let me just encourage you, Grace Fellowship. I see you doing that. Most churches, there's this 80-20 rule. You ever heard of that? That there's 20% of people doing 80% of the work. It becomes like a football stadium where you have all these spectators. If you're watching the OSU game last night, there's many people in desperate need of exercise and then many people in the field in desperate need of rest, right? So we don't have that happening here, and I'm really encouraged by that. Many of you are involved. You're seeking to do your part. You are not just spectators, and that's great. So way to go with that. Way to go with that. And let us continue to spur one another on towards that. Let us continue to be growing in our health in that. So, just closing once again, the goal of belonging, the goal of being part of this fellowship, what is it? It's to help this church, this local body, to grow to maturity in Christ. So let's do this together. Let's pray for that to happen in both ourselves and those we are meeting with regularly. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that we get to be part of your church universal in this local body expression of it. And Lord, we want to grow in health. We don't want to just be spectators. You have many wonderful things for us to be involved in. And so, Lord, help us to know if we're over-involved to step it back a step, but if we're under-involved to ask you, God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, I pray that each one of us could be fulfilled as we see how you are using us to bless others, and how you are allowing others to speak into our life and move us towards maturity in Christ and to be blessed by them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, now we're moving into the section of the service we call Circle Church. And those of you that are visitors, who's the visitor group today? I forgot to look. Okay, so the McKee group, and Brian Judd is filling in for that. So Brian, right back here. They meet in the room that's right by the restrooms upstairs. So you could just go to the restroom and then slip on into that group if you're unattached. If you're a teenager, like sixth grade and up, the teens are meeting upstairs. You just go all the way up the stairs, And if you're if you have children that are fifth grade and below, please take them either to the nursery or to Sunday school wing and sign them in before you go to circle group. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a great time unpacking this in Circle Church.